But the guys who started in the trades, which is not you and me, meaning they were doing the work and then they're trying to grow their
Yeah.
business, they get so stuck in the minutiae they can't see above it, and they don't take the time to listen to this podcast. They don't take the time to educate themselves and go, wait a minute, if I just breathe for an hour and listen to something like this, I might learn something that I can actually make myself be able to scale later.
Welcome to the Small Business Safari, where I help guide you to avoid those traps, pitfalls, and dangers that lurk when navigating the wild world of small business ownership. I'll share those gold nuggets of information and invite guests to help accelerate your ascent to that mountaintop of success. It's a jungle out there, and I want to help you traverse through the levels of owning your own business that can get you bogged down and distract you from hitting your own personal and professional goals. So strap in, adventure team, and let's take a ride through the safari and get you to the mountaintop.
Heyo, here we go. Small Business Safari. I hope you're having a great day, great evening, whatever you're doing. If you're driving in the car, let's get you excited about not only just driving, don't hit anybody, but let's learn a little bit more about how we can get better at business. And while we're doing that, we're going to rock and roll with a little bit of Horse Soldier Bourbon.
Cheers.
Hello.
Nice.
If you don't
I
know
love
Horse
that.
Soldier Bourbon, that's a great one. Brought to you by Veterans of the United States Army.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. It was awesome. So we're going to do that. But today we are excited because we've actually had a pre-call with Brian. We have Brian Diamond on from the Contractor Academy. You know what? I can't remember because I'm in his Facebook group. I'm all over. I watch him all the time.
You're kind of a stalker.
I have been stalking. I've been stalking him
nice.
For
we like
about
stalkers.
2 months.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Dude, but yeah, we were gonna do this about a month or two ago, and you weren't feeling swift, and we said, all right, let's cancel that. And you were like, no, I'll do it. And he was a trooper.
Oh, yeah.
He
and
was.
I mean, it was more than Barry White, though. It was like,
I know.
Yeah,
but we didn't record, but we ended up talking to him for 25 minutes.
I know.
Even though he feels like
absolute
crap.
And I'm like, crap, we should have recorded that.
I know. It was good, but we thank him for doing that. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, gents. I've been waiting for this for, like you said, about a month or so. So I've been eagerly watching my calendar for the date. So I'm glad we got a chance to do this thing.
You have a cocktail in your hand?
You know what? We don't keep alcohol in the house. I
Okay.
tell you, it's crazy because, you know, now that I've got the beard and my physique is changing, my wife's been a little friskier, and when she has a few cocktails, it gets worse. So I've been trying to keep her at bay, and that's been the solution for me, is just no alcohol in the house
I am
anymore. So
speechless. Okay, this interview is
I
over.
hear you, and everybody wants to
It's
know.
working. It's
It
working
is.
pretty well, so I didn't want to mess it up. And but I'm enjoying the bourbon with you. I'm a bourbon guy, so I'm excited for you guys.
Brian, the Love Stud Diamond. I love it. There we go. Guys, we're going to get into some really cool stuff. Brian has a big background in home services. I know Alan has told me over and over, we like to get people who aren't always in home services.
And by the
However,
way, some people are not guys. So, Chris,
and
I mean,
ladies.
my
No,
God. You just pissed a lot of people off today.
So let's go back to that. How did y'all become acceptable?
Because it isn't guys.
Yeah, but I'm from the Midwest, and then we say you guys, and we say pop.
Oh, you do say pop.
I do.
What do they say in Nebraska? Pop or soda?
I think it's pop. Yeah. Grab your soda. I guess what is it in the South? What's the South thing? Is it pop in the South?
No, soda.
It's a Coke.
It's a
Coke.
Or it's a Coke.
You just say
Oh,
Coke.
it's a Coke. Yep.
Yeah.
I definitely don't like going down. I'm a Pepsi guy, so I definitely know
Ooh,
when I'm down in the
bad
Southern
word.
in the airports that I yeah, it's a bad thing.
You can't ask for that in Atlanta.
No, I was going to say when you're in town, look us up, but
That's funny. Yeah. I actually watched somebody in a diner when I first went down here to Atlanta say, can I get a Pepsi? And the lady said, you can leave, and grabbed his menu. And she walked away. And it was hilarious. And at first, I didn't think she was kidding. I mean, it was like serious. And we were watching it from this other table. And she walked all the way down and she goes, I'm just messing with you. But
if
you
we
can
could
never.
figure out how to get capture market share and brand loyalty like that, then we'd all be in a whole different stratosphere of business. That's for sure.
That's awesome. All right, Brian, I want to go all the way back. How did you get into the home services business? Did you have it in high school? You're like, dude, I'm just going to do that. And that's where I'm going.
No, my folks were in the industry on and off. My dad was kind of in sales and operations for different companies. My mom had done bookkeeping for a home improvement company. They were divorced when I was younger, but they independently kind of stood up their own little shops. They did well for a while, and then they didn't do so well for a while. So I got to see kind of both sides of what that looked like. I went to college to be an elementary school teacher. And my dad introduced me to a guy during one of my summer sessions that was standing up a company. And he said, I'm just looking to get some leads. So here's a phone book, you know, here's a cell phone. Just start dialing away at A and see what we can drudge up. And by the end of that summer, I had a 12-person, 12-seat predictive dial call center stood up for him. And then I threw him the deuces and said, I'm going back to school. So in today's dollars, I guess what would have been about a $70,000 salary.
Is that what throw up the deuces is?
I know what that is. I just was throwing up the deuces on YouTube.
Yeah, threw the deuces, man, and the deuces. And so, yeah.
I'm out of here. See ya.
I'm out of here.
I'm going back to school. And he threw me what today would be about a $70,000 salary and asked me to stick around, which I did. And then eventually moved into different, you know, avenues of that, sales mostly. And that's where I kind of kicked off my career is going, you know, sitting at the table doing the thing.
Now, always in Nebraska?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, 100%. By the way, before we get into business, when is Nebraska football going to get back to its position of glory? I mean, come on.
Listen, I'm just glad that there are guys like myself that are still around that can tell the youth what it used to be like.
Like Tom Osborne days. I mean, now you've got big volleyball games.
The new thing, right?
Not gonna lie, I was just about to bring that up. As soon as they get good, like the volleyball team, I actually watched one of their volleyball matches.
Did you see the one in the stadium?
Yeah, that was
90,000
awesome.
People.
I know, and it was a knockdown, drag out, close fight too.
That
it was
is
a great
so
game.
Cool for the
yeah,
players.
Yeah, and so yeah, you do that. You get guys like myself, you know, with our beards and our beers, and you know, we're rooting for the girls out there. You know, I was gonna say slamming balls around, but I don't know if we might have to post edit that, but I think you get the idea.
I got the idea, and we're going to keep that one in because I like it. Masochistic old men looking at all the
right. Maybe one day, hopefully, but in the meantime, yeah, we've got the girls, so it still works out.
All right, so the lure of sales got you into it. What were you selling right off the bat?
It was the window company. Yeah, right. So it was Champion Windows.
All right, yeah,
is
big
where
name.
I started. Yeah, and then my dad had introduced me to another buddy of his that had a little rig that he was starting up. And then he ended up deciding not to get that thing fired up and went over to a company called American Exteriors out of Denver. So I started in a sales position with them. And I think at that time there were maybe $3 million. They had some offices in the mountain area and then West Coast, and eventually became a sales manager and helped them scale up and open other offices. So that's where I really kind of cut my chops on the business side of it, so to speak.
So mostly on the sales side. Now, mm-hmm. Did you ever venture out on your own and do your own gig?
Yeah, I did. So the goal was that we wanted to open up some Midwest offices. And so the guy that was kind of my mentor really in the industry, Michael Mater, just basically said, hey, you know, if something comes up, you know, put your hand up in the air and I'll give you a shot at it. And he was great at letting me just explore and fail and kind of pick me back up and brush me off. And so I was instrumental in helping open up Minneapolis, Kansas City, Wichita, Quad Cities, Davenport, Iowa, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then we opened those up and scaled them up. And then they finally got an equity buyout, which I think ultimately was their goal. So the nice thing about it is through that process, I think, you know, the Omaha office when I became sales manager was, you know, maybe $3 million, got them up to $11 million in a couple years. And then those offices, you know, scaled up to probably $30 million altogether. So it was just a real nice opportunity for me to see how the business side of it worked and then learn scale, like how to open an office and operate it at scale and then profitability. So it was good.
And after you do one, the next one's easier, isn't it?
First one was a crap show. First one was radiation fallout, bodies strewn across the lawn. It was real bad. It was not good.
That's the true deuces right there, bro.
Yeah, it was bad. And then the second one, like you said, yeah, it got better. I figured it out. And that kind of kicked off the Contractor Life Academy side of things, because what I learned there was kind of this rinse and repeat methodology of systems and scale. And
so you can't invent a system without the mistakes, right? I mean, you have to start by making the mistake. I mean, Chris can talk about that
all day long. Well, I'll go back to it. I've had people say, I'm going to go out and, let me give you my story. I went out and created this thing called the Home Maintenance Program, HMO, back in 2009, okay? And I built this up. I built all these binders, and it was going to be a quarterly inspection process. We're going to come out there. We're going to look at your house. We're going to do it as a handyman. We're going to tell you what your preventative maintenance schedule should look like. We're going to do that. I developed this process. I got a two-ply a checklist. I had a binder you were going to have. I got 20 binders made.
You
I
were really
whole thing.
Proud of yourself,
I was
weren't
so
you?
proud of myself. I had brochures going, and I signed up exactly How six clients.
Oh.
After developing all that. And then I finally said,
you sold
screw
that
this.
To private equity?
So that didn't go.
Okay.
But I will tell you, actually, in 2024, we are resurrecting that, and we're going to call it the Home Hub. We're going to do it on a semi-annual basis. But I learned, but I had spent all this time and effort 1.5 years into my business. And as Brian said, crap show, that's not exactly the word I used. But that's the thing. I mean, I think you can go out there and develop a great process, but if you never implement it or it doesn't work, it's a lot of work. Go out there with even a half-ass process and figure out what's going wrong, right? And Brian shaking his head, so I got on it. So that's part of it. So you learned the rinse and repeat method. My question is, what was the most fun you ever had in your early career?
Do you have what it takes to start your own business? Are you tired of the 9-to-5 corporate job and ready to make that leap into entrepreneurship? You need to check out From the Zoo to the Wild, the book by successful entrepreneur Chris LaLumia. This book is a unique perspective on the journey into the wild world of home services and delivering excellence in service while working in customers' homes. LaLumia shares his path to success in this industry, including proven customer relationship strategies, award-winning customer experience processes, and a unique approach to training a team of service technicians to perform at the highest levels. Whether you're a small business trying to scale or a franchise operation, From the Zoo to the Wild will give you the mindset, habits, leadership style, and customer-oriented processes to succeed as a small business owner in the world of home services. So if you're ready to take control of your future, get a copy of From the Zoo to the Wild today, available on Amazon.
Oh gosh, the most fun I ever had in my early, you know, I will tell you, it was when we were building out the Omaha office on the sales side. I'd been promoted to the sales manager position, and they really let us work with a great deal of autonomy, right? Build your machine, get your people, do your thing. And so I had free rein, and just building like an amazing crew of guys that are dedicated to just winning and the mission and team and going out and man, just getting the deer and dragging it back. I still love the sales part of it. You know what I mean? I guess I get fired up of just the win. So
every time the phone rings, you know, you did that.
Oh man, the team, you know, the team and the camaraderie. I just don't think. And it's like all of us, man, we talk about the old glory days back at the high school football team and the championship game. And that was it for us, right? Being able to scale that up and this, the group of guys that I was doing it with was pretty amazing. I still miss those days for sure.
You can tell, man, the way he talked about that. And we all have those.
It brought
right?
back memories.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's a key one to talk about because you talked about sales guys and team. In my experience, it's sales guys and sales guys. And we call them I. It's hard to build that team out of a bunch of individuals, right? So how did you develop that winning culture and that winning team where they came in and they'd be high-fiving each other going, hey, dude, I just sold 25,000. Bam! You know what? I just sold 30. Take that. Wham! And so they're trying to one-up each other. How did you build that team?
I think it starts with the individual, right? It starts with the leader and being able to exemplify and to show with that kind of culture and that looks like. So for me, it was always just a level of encouragement and connecting with guys at a personal level and letting them know that we're not here just to win and hit KPIs and metrics. Like we're here to operate as a family. We're here to support each other, look out for each other. We got each other's backs and then continue to execute on that and make it real. I think sometimes we talk about it a lot. You know, it looks really good up on a board on some laminate or something we staple somewhere. But the reality is we have to, as leaders, be willing to live it out and be intentional behind it. I was talking to a guy, a client of mine, about core values, just kind of getting those stood up. And when he laid them out for me, I said, you know, here's my observation. I don't think these core values connect with you at all. I think they sound good. They're fancy. They're going to look good up on a wall. But I don't know that you can actually live them out and execute them and be real about it. And the reason is, like, I've done that. I've made the mistake. And what I found is I can't hold the team accountable to something I'm not willing to execute and stand behind myself.
There's no buy-in then.
There's no buy-in. It's all fake. It's all hyperbole.
So that was I was writing down. There's no Brian. You said buy-in.
Buy-in. Yeah. I mean,
actually, the reason I said that is because that's the truth. If Brian came up with core values that said we're going to live our best life every day, we're going to take care of our customers, there's no Brian in that, and there's no buy-in in that because it's not authentic Brian, whatever it's Brian's not. Thing is, and so that's why I liked it.
Yeah, the other one was establishing.
Good for you.
I liked what I heard better than what you said.
I knew I was in trouble when I decided to jump onto this thing.
Hello, let's go.
Let's go. So yeah, the one that we really focused on was attributes. So, you know, once I've identified what kind of core attributes or DNA makeup that I want in my sales team, then I have to be consistent behind it and make sure that I'm only bringing guys in that kind of fit that same DNA makeup. Here's what I learned is they used to want us to recruit like the top sales guys. How do we get the top guys? How do we get the best guys? And what I soon learned is I can teach somebody how to be a really top-notch salesperson. I can't teach one how to be a good person. So
amen to that. Hire for character.
Oh, that's good.
And by the way, I just want to go on record that guys means girls too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
I can't say y'all. I just cannot do it. I've been down here for 20. I've been down here.
I remember the first time I was given a presentation, and all y'all came out of my mouth, and I'm like, "What?
What
happened?"
Now, do you do this? If you go down south, you start to adopt some of the characteristics. If you go out east, are you kind of talking like you're in the mob or something like that, or how's no?
Well, not for nothing. I got family, as you mentioned, out east.
I know people. I got an uncle.
I got some people. Last name Lalamia. It's not nothing okay, for nothing. Yep. But honestly, I can slide into a Southern accent pretty easy.
It sucks though.
Oh,
the bourbon helps.
No, I think right?
It is fun when he is speaking Southern when we're having some drinks.
Well, that's worse. No, that was. But I can't. But I would say no. I mostly go. I get accused of being Canadian all the time. Yeah, because I came from Michigan. Yeah. So I can yay anybody to death if I had to. And so when I went back to Michigan over the holidays, over Christmas, and went out with my buddies. I mean, by the time we were done, we were out and about. We were talking about that. Yeah, sorry. All the whole thing. So, and then the Michigan accent with the A's, apple.
I don't think in Atlanta, you don't pick up the accent, but there's a couple of things you pick up. I mean, when you go into a first-time meeting in business, you do spend time talking about the family. Which is there's that, and there are very colorful phrases that don't require an accent, but you just sort of incorporate those into your vocabulary.
I would say that's actually you talk about being a good salesperson, and you could train someone to be a great salesperson in the Midwest, but will it translate to New York? And here's the thing where it has to translate to the South. You can't jump right into business. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, we never do. You know, in the Midwest, we jump a little quicker, but we don't jump near as quick as people in New York.
No, they get right there.
New York is like right there. Bang, 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 bang. Midwest. Now we kind of work in the South. Hey, where's your mom and them?
Yeah. Where's your mom and them?
Yeah. And then what's going on? Yeah. And how's your family? Yeah. All right. You got to do that because I didn't. And I had a person when I first started, he was from the South. And I did some test runs, and I went to his wife, and I went to do a sales call. And when I was done, he called me and said, "Hey, Yankee, I got to give you some feedback." He said, Kim didn't know if you liked her anymore. And we had been on vacation together. I said, "Well, I was trying to be a businesslike." He said, "Dude, you got to lighten up. I don't know what you were doing, but you got to take some time to let them know you're there and you care about them and their home. And then they'll let you talk about their home." I'm like, oh, right.
I have to care now. I have to pretend to care.
That's right. I know when we set up the Minneapolis office and then we did Wichita maybe a year after that we had to take the sales process and flip it. Because when we would come in, the Minneapolis people were like, what do you got? Let's get to it. Let's make it happen. We were kind of in the inner city there. And then when we went down to Wichita, we had to actually, like you said, spend a lot. We were on the porch having tea. you know, for 30 minutes before we even had a chance to even talk about it.
I actually like that kind of sale.
Yeah, but if you try to do the tea in Minnesota, they're kicking you right out.
Oh, you're toast. Mm-hmm. You're done. It was over. They're
right? Boot. I think, that's the interesting thing. I mean, it's good to have a sales process, but you got to train those guys to be able to act and react, right? And that's when you talked about DNA, I think that's one of the things that hit me in my head when you were saying that, is that they got to be able to act and react and get in the moment and then follow the sales process. Mm. But just trying to follow it and not be authentic is a killer.
Yeah.
That's why I never liked like scripted sales processes. You know, that was one of the things that the company that I was working at, when they had that private equity buyout, they brought in a sales guy, a trainer, and it was a very script driven kind of process. And I said, look, you guys are going to be out of business in 18 months. Like if we keep going down this road.
See, Chris and I argue about this all the time, but I do believe Chris is a very process guy. And I think process is a substitute for common sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the truth is probably there in the middle. I mean, and if you don't have the best people, then they need the process.
Yes, that's a great point. And so here's what we learned. Is the thing we learned about the process driven script thing is that you could basically take anybody as long as they can just read and repeat, then you're going to have a pretty predictable outcome. What we found on the flip side of that is we're not sitting in front of the same people every day. Like we're sitting in front of individuals, and so somebody has to be able, like you were saying earlier, is kind of take these steps and consider them individual blocks that can be rearranged. And so they have to be trained to be really thoughtful and present in the conversation. And sometimes we found the scripting side of it didn't allow people to have headspace and be situationally aware to determine where to go. They were just straight line right down the path, right? And that's where they ran into roadblocks.
Well, so that's all right. So I don't say we have to be robots, but yes.
Acquiesce, Chris. We're right. 2-1 today.
All right.
2-1.
Fine.
Finally,
fine.
After 2 years, I get somebody who is a kindred spirit.
And Brian said, I knew
we, set this up earlier. So just so you know, we already talked about this.
I feel like I'm getting ambushed. All right. Fine.
I'll wait for that.
He's still hung over from Vegas, Brian. So we got him at a weak moment. He's a wounded wildebeest.
That's
right
not
now.
True.
Lost all your money in the last half hour.
You know what?
You lost your voice.
For
you did meet Miss Guatemala.
I did meet
Miss
Guatemala.
What happened? What were you doing out there? What were you doing? Vacation or what was
debauchery?
Annual trip with the boys to go out there and watch. NFL
annual
football
trip.
Games.
It's the quarterly trip.
Quarterly.
Well, actually, funny enough, yeah. You should say that. We're probably there's a lot of conferences out there, man, and so I think I'm gonna have to go back out for some conferences.
There's a double.
Well, I know. I think really,
I've been kind of deuce here. Air quotes.
There were deuces. No, this one was pure on entertainment and. I was telling Alan, I went out there and I lost my voice. And he's like, dude, you were screaming way too much. I said, no, what happened? I just lost it. And he goes, well, what were you doing? I said, I was in total panic mode because if I don't have my voice, I just realized something about myself. I don't want to live. I said, I can't communicate with anybody. I couldn't talk to anybody. I was like, oh my God. I said, the whole reason I have a podcast is so I can just talk more. And I was like, I lost my voice. But for the record, up until 11:15 on Sunday night, I was up $1,500.
Nice.
And then
let's talk about that. Right.
I got on the airplane the next morning, down 1,000.
Are you a craps guy? What's your game?
That was blackjack, and it was one of those perfect storms where
you got the split.
I had eights. Dealer showed six. I get another eight.
Yep.
Split again, get a two, double down. Get a three, double again.
Yeah.
Play out the other eights. I have $900 sitting on the table. She pulls 20. I'm out.
I swear those shoes are rigged. I swear it. That's yeah.
You were going nuts when you had all that out.
You feel like less of a man if you don't split the eights and then hit the doubles. There's something in your soul that just says, I'm weak and I shouldn't be here, you know?
So thank you. Right. If I've got one thing, I got some big balls and I'm a risk taker. Right. That's not exactly how I walked away, Brian. Actually, what I did with the next is I took my stack and I just went, all right, I'm all in. Boom. I'm out. And I just walked away. I hadn't seen my buddies.
You made
an
angry follow up bet.
I did. That's angry follow up bet, which this is why I went down all the way. Yeah. And so I just threw it all in. Angry follow up bet. I'm playing with my buddies at the table. It's 11:15. We're all getting ready to go to bed anyway because we're all going to the airplane, and they all flew in from all over the U.S. I don't see them but once a year, and all they heard was "F you," wham, and I walked out. I just walked back to my room. So the next morning, we got the text message. I'm like, "They're like, Chris, are you still alive?" And I wrote back, "Not really."
And you know when you're like emptying out your pockets at the end of the night, and you're just hoping there's like $100, $500 chip in there. You're hoping,
and
there's
it's lint.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Lint, you got a.
It was a gum wrapper, and a bad bet. On a sports bet, yep. and the sports bet that didn't pay off.
Do any good prop bets? Anything that hit?
My best parlay. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. So I'm a diehard, long-time, suffering Lions fan.
And you're having your moment in the sun.
And I'm having my moment in the sun. And the Lions were laying 6, and the Pack was laying 6.5. I forget the number. So I did a parlay with the Pack and the Lions, and they both covered, and I scored it.
Nice.
And I was like, hello, thank you, good night. And oh, by the way, you talked about blacking out when you're coughing before we started, I think before the podcast. Yeah. I jumped up in the middle of the game, and I yelled so hard, I got a head rush, and I had to sit back down really quiet. I mean, so somebody says, hey, man, you have to act like you've been there before. I'm like, bro, we haven't been there before. I'm telling you, man, 92 was a blur. I was gone. That was the year I left to move to Charlotte. And I played football, and I was up there defending the Lions faith in a small school that I played at. And I moved to Charlotte, and nobody even knew who the Lions were. So I went to a bar. Nobody even knew who they were watching the game, and we lost. And I'm like, and since then, we've never won again.
See, I was there, I would have been like, let my guy have his moment. He's been waiting a long time. Let him have his moment.
Brian's a good wingman.
Let him take it, bro. Yeah. He's been waiting for this.
I love it. Yeah, thanks. All right, Brian, let's get back into coaching. I know you set up a lot of sales. You did that. And then you said, hey, I'm going to hang out my own shingle. I'm going to start doing my coaching. What was that like? Was that, I want to talk about the on the business part, not necessarily what you do for people. Was this, a forced thing? Was this I got let go? Was this a side hustle that just grew into something I just had to ignore? How'd you do that?
That's a good question. So I ended up, as I kind of saw the other company, having some challenges, I went and opened up my own company, and we did windows and siding, et cetera. And just started getting after it, kind of scaled it up to around, I don't know, $5 million or so over 3 years. Got some cool little awards, Fred Case Remodeling Entrepreneur and Inc. Magazine and Big 50 Awards and stuff. So that was cool. And then opened up a one-day bath conversion company. And so that was a lot of fun and super profitable. I love bath conversions. It's a great business to be in.
One-day
bath conversions, acrylic systems, in and out, 70% gross profit all day. Love it.
Wow. Hey, yeah. Chris, there's another vertical.
So not for nothing, Brian and I are going to continue talking. I want to stay in his world, the Contractor Life Academy, and I'm doing it on Facebook, and I love watching all this stuff. But I have seen that. I know people who have gotten in there, and they had a window siding business, but they also have the one-day bath conversion business. Now we do full baths, we do full remodeling. We like to do the full on. In fact, got some beautiful pics out there of stuff we've done, but yes, I went to a conference and I said, sign me up. I want to get this franchise territory. I happen to be in Atlanta. Yeah, there's no way I was getting that one. It's already done. Oh.
They're tough. Yeah. You know, it's nice because there's another manufacturer that just popped up. So, I've been able to get some lease on some really nice territories and stuff like that. So, we'll be looking kind of later this year of standing up some offices and partnerships and stuff. So that'll be a lot of fun to explore. But, so I had the two companies and then COVID hit. So at that point, I think coming off of maybe some of those little awards and little speaking gigs and stuff like that, people were reaching out for some help. And it was a lot. There's a lot of people that were really trying to figure out what's the move? What do I do next? So as that was happening, I realized that I needed to figure out how to do it at scale. So when somebody would ask a question, I just pop up a video and say, hey, man, I'm going to send you a link. Check out the video. And interestingly enough, you kind of get the same questions over and over again. So as I directed people to the videos, one guy said, cool, man. Yeah, I'd love to check it out. How much is it? And I thought, I don't really charge them for that. I'll let you know. So
wait a minute. I got to ask the dumb question. You were being asked the same question so much, you just videoed yourself answering it. Is that what you did?
Yeah, literally. So people would call in. They'd say, hey, okay, man, I have a question. What do I do about this? And I'd say, you know what? I'm going to get back to you. So I got a light and a camera and a backdrop, and I just popped it on and gave them the answer and then put it on a Google Drive. I labeled it, and then as people would call me or DM me and ask me a question, I'd just send them the link and do it that way. So it turned out to be real solid. Now, we had already been videoing stuff based for our SOPs. So I already kind of had this little platform and some other things that we were doing on that end. So I was already, you know, a little experienced in how to set it up. So yeah, it was real easy.
I love that.
That became an online academy.
That became your online academy. But were you thinking, I mean, so here's the thing, right? When you run your own business and you're in it and COVID hits, which was a killer for at least a little bit. For me, it was 2 months. And then we jumped right back up.
Party time after that.
Oh, it was just 100%. I felt, I even got up and gave a talk about we are all in the right business later in the fall, because here in Georgia, the Dirty South, we were open for business in June and we were back networking in the fall while Michigan, my mother country, was still covering up shrubs because you couldn't plant them yet, because heaven forbid you plant a shrub in your own yard because you might get COVID from it. And they were running scared and they wouldn't let us come up to Michigan. In fact, we chose for the first time in my entire life at that time, 50 years. It was the first time I had never had Christmas in Michigan.
And, really?
Yeah. Because we didn't want to go back because they were shut down and we didn't want to give our parents COVID. And everybody thinks here in the Dirty South, we all had it the whole time. And we were all running around here working and doing things and living life and doing our thing. Anyway, I don't want to go back into the whole thing because it becomes this whole, believe it or not, becomes a political bullshit thing. Whatever. This is so crazy. But let's go back to it. So COVID hits and you had your biz. Did you end up coming out not going on? Did you end up shutting it down? Did you sell it? What'd you do?
No. Yeah. Like you said, you know, we had a pretty quick turnaround. I had set it up early to be able to kind of pivot online. So literally when it was the shutdown, it was like, cool. See you guys. Everybody log in from home. And so we just kept on rolling. We did a lot of work based off of Zoom calls. So we were, you know, getting bathroom conversions and window jobs put together just over Zoom. So we were doing that. And so, yeah, we kept pushing. Last year, sold the exteriors company, and I still have the bath company. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So you still have them. So where are you spending most of your time? Contractor Life Academy and coaching?
Yeah, the coaching thing. And so from there, we had the online academy, and that was really good. So the way I structured the online academy was basically just the business building side. So if you watch the videos from front to back, right down the line, you know, take 2 weeks to implement, you'll have a seven-figure business at the end of the video series. Because it's really just a video iteration of what I did in these other markets.
He makes it sound just so easy. It's just easy, Chris. Where was Brian when you started?
Oh, I don't know, but he definitely wasn't with me. This is like going.
Listen,
to the McDonald's
we haven't got to the crap show part of that yet. So I'll take the easy part, and then we realized it wasn't so easy, right?
Oh, okay. So after 2 weeks, you can't have a $7 million business. Oh my God!
You know what we found is that took that people, away. No, people were treating it like TikTok, Instagram reels, or shorts. So
life's
while
all about Instagram. Is that what you're saying?
I beg to differ.
It was interesting because, you know, I thought my intent was that people would watch a video, they'd have 2 weeks to implement, they go watch the next one, and they just go on down the line. But people were treating it like a YouTube channel, and you know, maybe 14% of the videos were getting watched. And so I thought that was terrible as an educator. Like, I wanted people to win and learn.
Going back to the educator part, that was my passion was I was going to go teach young people how to live, how to learn. And so that's in your DNA. You can tell that already. All right. So let's go back to, so you put all these videos out there and you said, if you follow this mantra, you will make seven figures at the end of this year.
And then they didn't follow. That's what I'm hearing.
And they weren't following. So we learned a couple things, right? And again, yeah, like you said, as an educator, that was my passion, is because I knew that there is a path. I mean, if you think of a $500 billion industry, you know, maybe 5% of businesses that contribute to that are really over $2 million, right? And everybody else is below that $2 million mark. That's a lot of companies. And that's a lot of people that are really struggling to, you know, provide lifestyle and legacy for their families through their business. Then it's just not going to happen at a sub-$1 million mark. So I thought, look, if I can just pop this up and get people into the ecosystem, then eventually, hopefully, we'll spit out some guys that are able to really create a lifestyle and legacy kind of platform for themselves and their families. And if we continue to do that, right, what will happen is the professionalism of the industry will kind of rise up. We'll have the old heads will now be talking about how to really operate and run a business. Like that was the long game. So once I realized people just weren't attending to it in that same fashion, I also found that it siloed people. So when you would think about bringing people into this ecosystem, they just watch videos from their desk and we weren't coming together as a contracting community. And that's really where the value and the power of who we are as an industry comes. It's the connection piece. So then that fired off masterminds. And once I did that, that was the pivot point because the video series was kind of a cop-out in a way. Because I can pop up the video series, people can go watch it and I'm good, right? Go learn, go do your thing, good luck. But then once we got in the masterminds, you know, then it was responsible for keeping that connection going and building community and things like that. So now we have coaches and sales training. We're going to be in Las Vegas next week, holding a sales training for everyone. So yeah, that's really the, you know,
he's going to be in Vegas and you're not going to be in Vegas.
Full transparency. What I was really going to say is that whenever I go out to Las Vegas and I start drinking while I'm out there, I end up losing more than I made on the event. So I just am not trying to prime myself to be leaving in a couple days and then end up going and holding this training event and then be net negative because the craps table kicked my butt at the last day. So, yeah.
Hey, just when you're out there next week, just drop the Lala Mia name and see what happens.
All right. Hang on. Depends on where you're at.
That could go two ways.
If it's I was only in a couple places. Circuit Cosmo, Parked MGM, Aria, Bellagio, Westgate. So any of those places, I would not bring that name up.
Burned up all the markers, didn't you? That's why.
Thank
that's
God
why
there's a lot more casinos for you to mess up.
That's why guys hop because they burn up the markers, you know, at each one. So they got to go hit the new spot. And yeah, that's it.
So there are more to be hit. But those were the list on that one of this last trip.
Yeah. No, so it's been fun. You know, I've been enjoying the same thing. Like I love educating. I love watching people learn and get better at business. And I love the home improvement industry. You know, it's really treated us well and stuff. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of learning along the way for sure.
You know, it's interesting to me being in the cheap seats in commercial real estate. And over and over, I hear people say in the construction or home services industry, occasionally you run across people who want to contribute to the industry and the health of the industry and the future of the industry. And I've never heard it anywhere else except for brewing. Brewers are very collaborative.
Yep.
But it's a special thing. And I congratulate you on commend you on your noble efforts there, Brian.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is very much needed and very much not sought after. And that's the problem. You know, a lot of times you're just head down in your biz and all you can do is look at today. And sometimes next thing you know, you're jumping in and you got calluses on your hands. You came from the sales side. I don't know if you ever installed Windows yourself or did it. And he says, no, for those not looking or not not listening. He said, no. I mean, the way I started my biz was I left corporate America. I left the tailored suits. I left the Mercedes. The big desk in the corner, but personal I got out there and got back. Yeah, personal. Man, you keep it up, yeah, buddy.
The paid for trips.
Don't.
Yeah, I was gonna say the expense account. You know that would change the Vegas account a little bit. Yeah,
but respect.
But 2 weeks after I quit, man. Next thing I know, I'm out there cutting out a fascia board and putting fascia in with my guy, because I wanted to live out there. But again, my background was in high school. I was a machinist. Then I went on to college, and then. Okay. Became an engineer but I've always worked on my own house, and that's the way I've always grown up, as my dad and I always worked on not only our own houses, but all of our family's houses. And then of course he pawned me off on all of his friends because quote unquote, Chris always worked for beer, especially when I came home from college. Mm-hmm. And so that was my weekends, was working for beer with all of his buddies. But so I felt like I had to have the calluses, but the guys who started in the trades, which is not you and me, meaning they were doing the work and then they're trying to grow their business. Yeah. they get so stuck in the minutia, they can't see above it. And they don't take the time to listen to this podcast. They don't take the time to educate themselves and go, wait a minute, if I just breathe for an hour and listen to something like this, I might learn something mm-hmm. that I can actually make myself be able to scale later.
Yeah,
there's two points I want to jump in on that. You said breathe and learn. Breathe and learn. Like that's the takeaway from that. The breathe part is like slow down, be patient, be present, right? Just take a deep breath and then be committed to learning. I talked to a guy the other day that had been in his business for 12 years. He's a painter. For 12 years, never eclipsed $500,000. But as we were talking about just concepts and things, dude was smart. Like he was, like he got it. Like he said, well, I'm always consuming information, podcasts and YouTube and you know, this guy teaching this and this book, and I've got all the books. And I said, there's one common denominator here at the end of the day. Like of all this information that you've amassed, there's one common denominator over the past 12 years that hasn't moved you on to the next level. What do you think that is? And it was like, it was interesting because it was like an epiphany. He's like, oh man, it's me. And I said, man, if the time to just take that information in and then build a framework of what you just acquired knowledge wise and where that fits into the business and then what that turns into and how it's going to change the trajectory of it, bro, you'd be crushing right now. Because you probably have more information and knowledge than half the guys I work with or even talk to. Probably even me.
I think that's where we come down. We've talked about this in other podcasts as well, is that it's simple in principle. It is hard in execution. So you can listen to all that. And back to your, you know, I can listen to the first 10 seconds of your video like I would on TikTok and probably would if I listened to your videos. But if
I go out and give them 10 seconds?
Actually when they opened up from 7 seconds on TikTok and to like a couple minutes, and I was following this one guy and he took all of it, I was like, oh, I'm done with you. Unfollow. Yeah. You're taking too long, big boy. Make your point early and make it quick. Let's go. So yeah. but you're right, you know, because when you go listen to my video, take 2 weeks, implement, do the things you're supposed to do. Whoop, that's too hard, can't do it. All right, back to cigarettes and beer.
Is there a happy ending to that story, Brian? It's a good story. I mean, did he make some changes? Did he get success?
No, he didn't. And that's one of, you know, that's again, I mean, we could talk about it for hours on this topic. But I was talking to one of the coaches. We had a meeting this morning and we were talking about kind of the structure of our masterminds and how he wanted to make sure we're just taking care of people inside of them. And he talked about a couple guys that are wanting to come in that are in his market. And he said, you know, to be honest, I don't know if I'm really, you know, excited about sharing all of my best practices and how I do what I do and, you know, with the guy that's going to end up being my main competitor. And I said, here's the thing. There's something that guy is never going to have, and that's you. Right. So I don't have competitors because anything I'm doing in my business, it's not transformational. It's not some secret sauce. It's just the standard way of operating. The thing is that I'm just consistent and intentional and strategic with what I know. And so, you know, like I told him, I would have no problem giving the whole thing away.
Chris does that all the time. I got to give you props. Yeah. I bust your balls a lot.
Yeah, just give it away, man.
But yeah, he gives it away.
I do. And like you said, you know, he says, oh, I'm so afraid about them becoming my number one competitor. I'm like, dude, bring it on, because they're not going to be your number one competitor. You have no competition. The competition is whether or not your team performs for that customer and they start becoming your raving fan and they want to tell everybody else about it and want to have you keep coming back, because we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to compete for a share of their wallet and their home, but there's no such thing, you know, especially in a big metro market.
Yeah.
You want him to be better, because that's going to make you two look so much better than the other clowns out there that are doing it.
Yeah. And it's that heart, right? I think it's that heart place of wanting to, here's, you know, I said, well, if I'm going to, he's going to be the competitor anyway. So I already know he's my competitor, whether we're working together and we're collaborating or not. So I would rather have a competitor that we have a relationship together, that we're both working towards best practices and serving our community. And we're doing it as a you know, a cohort.
Yeah.
And so now together we can level up our market. We can provide, you know, great service to our customers. And if I get to be a part of helping them along, then man, that's I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think so. And that's a hard thing to swallow because, again, if you play sports, you're supposed to beat down the competition, right? I got to score more points than you. I've got to have more checks than you. I've got to break more legs than you. Oops. I mean, go Lions. Yeah, right. Go
That was old Lions. School, wasn't it, though? Didn't they used to get bonuses for knocking guys out and breaking things and all kinds of stuff, right?
Right. Headhunter goals. I mean, allegedly.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Sean Payton.
yeah, right? That, wow. When I say that, dude, when that came out in the late 2000s, I'm like,
I couldn't believe it.
Dude, that. I thought that had gone away in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Because I had been part of that, that mentality at least. But,
yeah.
But back to this, that's the mentality you can't have in business. And no matter what you're doing, even if you're not in the contracting world or the home services world, don't think about it. You don't have competition. You have people who can help you get better. And the better you all get at whatever you're doing, the better served your community is. And guess what? They start to, the other people start to fall away and your market share gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And so there's plenty for everybody to go around.
Facts. Good point, Chris.
Thank you, Alan. I finally got one. I took so long.
I'm going to mark it down for you.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that. Like that's awesome. Sheet. You guys got like a little wind sheet over there. Yeah.
Brian, we could talk all day, but we're going to have to wrap this up. How can everybody find you at the Contractor Life Academy? Because you got a lot of places to go and I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, our ecosystem really is real heavy on Facebook. So they can just go on Facebook, Contractor Life Academy, check it out. You know, Messenger is a great way to get in touch with our team. We got lots of people keeping their eyes on that. So you can reach out. We also have our online academy. So it's just theacademy.contractorlifeacademy.com. And that'll get you into the online series anyway. And yeah, I love to have conversations with people about helping them make their business better. And just, I just love meeting contractors and just chopping it up and breaking bread. So yeah, if anybody wants to do that, you know, reach out.
Well, check this out. I've been waiting to say it. I know three people who listen to the podcast who've actually joined and you actually put out there, welcome our new members.
Nice.
And they had, because I had said that you were coming on. And I ended up talking to a couple people and then he shared it with somebody else who also listens. So there are three of our podcast listeners on the Contractor Life Academy already. It's awesome.
That is really cool. Sweet.
It was cool, but I was waiting for Brian to say that so I could prop him up and say, man, that's awesome. It is good stuff. Go check it out on Facebook. You can go out there and I would definitely say follow the Lions. Detroit Lions, that is.
Yep.
That's the NFL. But you can follow Contractor Life Academy if you're in that world. You'll definitely pick up stuff. There's some people who contribute quite a bit. I try to contribute a little bit here and there, but there's always things that you can learn from that group. So that's been awesome. Brian, we're going to ask our famous four questions. We got to ask you, what is a book you would recommend to our audience?
Atomic Habits. You know, it's the goal is great, but it's the small things that you have to be diligent, intentional about to get you to that goal. So right now, Atomic Habits is my favorite.
All right.
Tight.
That was tight. All right. What's a favorite feature of your house?
Favorite feature of my house is my bed. Is that furniture? Can I call that a feature of my house?
Yeah, it's a feature.
One thing somebody told me a long time ago is spend a lot of money on your bed and your shoes because that's where you spend most of your time. So, yeah, super comfy, man. Love it.
All right. What is it? I want to know.
It's a Berkshire Hathaway something. I don't know. It was about five figures. It's super comfortable.
All right.
I'll get you a link. I'll get you one. Maybe we'll do like a little gift exchange.
All right. We'll do that. We're going to share each other's Berkshire Hathaway. I'm writing that down. But I've heard Sleep Number. I've heard actually Purple Bed was a new one I just heard about.
Okay.
So that was a good one. So there's all kinds of beds out there. And I love how mattress guys always advertise. It's always in your Sunday mail. Back when we got Sunday papers all the time, right? You're like, man, I get a mattress. Oh, look, there's a mattress sale.
There's a sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It just happened to be this weekend. I can't believe it.
Same thing with cars.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. All right, Brian, what is a customer service pet peeve of yours when you're out there and you're the customer?
Lack of attention to fulfilling the order. I live in a small town and it doesn't matter what fast food restaurant you go to. I think right now I'm 0 for 7 for getting an accurate order.
Even with AI at McDonald's?
Even with AI at McDonald's, it just isn't happening. So I told my wife, if we ever get a chance to buy any of the fast food places here in town, we are doing it, and it will be transformational, and we'll make a gazillion dollars. So.
How about that? I think it's AI. It is. Although who doesn't miss this?
Oh, welcome to the Pitbull Doctor. What would you like?
That was my first job was McDonald's, $3.18 an hour. And I ended up going to McDonald's U. And I will say that McDonald's
man.
U was singularly one of the most transformational leadership environments that I had ever been in. I take a lot of what I learned there and apply
it. I have heard today. The same thing over and over.
That is awesome. I have not. So is there something online you can go out there and just check out what that's all about?
I don't think so. You know, I was actually talking to my wife about it and tried looking it up, and I had a hard time kind of tracking it down and stuff. But yeah, it was good, man.
It's kind of up there with people who say the same thing about Disney. You know what you learn at Disney. Yeah. Same thing about
McDonald's. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to wait to the end. If you waited to the end, then you just got a nugget. Go out there and find McDonald's U. But that was that's good stuff. But gonna be hard to find. But Disney, McDonald's U, the Ritz-Carlton way, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All good stuff about how to be better at process. All right, Brian, give us a DIY nightmare story.
I noticed how you slipped process in there. It's not about
gosh. DIY nightmare story. So bath conversion. My wife is an acts of service kind of gal, and so. Regardless of whether I have people that I can hire to do the work or not, she wants me to put the tool belt on, which is another thing about the whole kind of getting frisky stuff, right? It kind of gets her worked up. So,
we'll plug that.
I get the tool belt on.
Hey, you got a leak in your pipe, ma'am?
I start demoing the shower. Unfortunately, forgot to turn off what I thought was the water to that shower. Was incorrect. Started taking off the fitting. Boom, water flies everywhere. I go flying backward, trip, fall over, crash, bust the toilet into 1,000 pieces. And the toilet happened to be full, and I had forgot to flush the toilet, and that turned into like a Rude Goldberg. What do they call that? Rude Goldberg experience?
Rude Goldberg, yeah. So
where did it go?
It's kind of a Rude Goldberg kind of thing that happened. So it was definitely some. I can't believe I just told that story.
I love
I think
that
my,
story.
I think my credibility shot at this point. I think
no,
I'm
no,
gonna
no,
work
no.
For
absolutely
you.
Not. No, you get, man, you got to
think
be
it's
home,
bathroom
man.
Life. Bathroom life for me from now on. You know.
Dude, that was awesome. Contractor Life Academy.
Bad.
Go check this out.
Epic.
DIY nightmare story, getting blown off the shower into the toilet, dropping the deuce. Because we started with dropping deuces. The deuce goes everywhere. He's saying, deuces, we're out of here. We got to go. If you didn't learn something today, man, that's on you. You got to learn something every time you listen to this. Hopefully you had some fun with this, because Brian Diamond's the real deal. If you didn't know it, Contractor Life Academy. We have loved this time together. We're going to do more, I'm sure of it, because we're going to stay in that ecosystem. He brought that up before, but you know what? Let's go out there. Let's make it a great day. Keep going up that mountain, and we're going to get to that mountaintop of success. We're out of here. We got to go. Thanks. Deuces.
Thanks, Jess.